Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And good evening. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Good-looking evening out there as it slowly gets cooler. I think this week we're not even going to be in the 60s as of tomorrow. On today's program, it's a silent killer, and it could be in your home. And officials at Consumers Energy want to tell you how to keep your family safe. We'll find out what it is. And a new MSU study finding that you can perform at a higher level when, whether you're an athlete or not, when you focus on your team rather than your own performance. I'll find out why that is and how you can use this knowledge to perform better at work. But first, Lansing lawmakers are now working on legislation that they say would help clarify the state's medical marijuana law, although some claims the efforts will ultimately limit the voter-approved law. To talk about that and the latest on what patients have been doing since the court ruling against the sale of medical marijuana, I'm joined by Robin Schneider. She is a member of the political committee for the Michigan Association of Compassion Centers. Welcome to the program, Robin.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Now, the legislation to put some clarification and guidelines into the state's medical marijuana law, it seemed much more relevant before the court ruling that led to the shutdown of dispensaries across the state. What's the latest? Are there dispensaries that are still selling medical marijuana to patients?
There are dispensaries throughout the state that are still assisting patients with the medical use of marijuana. The law clearly says that patients and caregivers will not be prosecuted for the acquisition, transfer, and delivery of marijuana. The authors of the law wrote that in there on purpose so that we would have that defense. So, as usual, patients are being assisted. In Lansing, particularly, many of the dispensaries were closed quite forcefully with police presence after that ruling. But we believe that ruling to be very case-specific, pertaining only to that particular business model.
Now, those dispensaries that are still operating and assisting patients, are they facing potential litigation and criminal penalties?
Absolutely they are. And I believe those that are open are well aware, that they may face that. But as I said, the protections are in the law. It's what the people voted for. And it's really been disheartening to see an attack on patients' access to medicine. What they're really doing is making it very difficult for these people to obtain their medicine. And that's, not what we want to see. We want to see the program fully implemented. In fact, I recently had a call from a Lansing City Council member saying, oh my goodness, patients and caregivers are now meeting in neighborhood parks, they're meeting in our neighborhoods, they're in gas station parking lots. And I said, well, what did you expect? They still have the right to acquire their medicine, and if you're not willing to let them do that in a, in a building with security and well-lit parking lots and in a centralized location where the police can keep track of that, they're just going to keep doing that in our neighborhoods.
So do you agree that the medical marijuana law was too broadly worded and that the sale of medical marijuana was, it just, as some put it, out of control?
Well, first of all, the sale of marijuana technically is not illegal. The delivery of marijuana is illegal, according to the Controlled Substances Act, which is why the authors wrote in the law that a caregiver could not be prosecuted for the delivery of marijuana. They covered that already, so that when a patient needed medicine and they didn't have a caregiver, I don't know if you know this, but two-thirds of all patients now do not have caregivers. And so if there was a caregiver that had extra medicine left over, they would be able to transfer it to those people that didn't have caregivers.
So in terms of the guidelines that are being considered, do you agree that we do need some guidelines to the medical marijuana law in Michigan?
I have mixed feelings about it. I've spent a lot of time speaking with the legislature. I believe in the end we'll come out okay. There have been a few minor situations that have really been blown out of proportion in the press. I know recently in the Attorney General's press conference, he said there were 25 dispensaries on Michigan Avenue, which was quite interesting because there were actually only 9. So it seems like the more they lie in the press and the more they try to blow this up into something that it's not, the more the public's starting to see that it's a mass hysteria that's being created from somebody's own personal bias. The Office of the Attorney General intervened in a civil low court case pertaining to medical marijuana, a dispensary in Chesterfield. And it's actually amazing because in the history of the Attorney General's office, never has an Attorney General used his powers and his personal bias and used the office to intervene in such a low court case. So it's really becoming clear that this is an obsessive fixation against the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, and it really makes you question the integrity of the Attorney General's office and makes you wonder, why are they focusing so much of their time and so much of their resources on dismantling this law that was passed by 63% of the voters, more votes than he got for his Attorney General seat, instead of focusing on murderers, rapists, or perhaps government corruption?
Well, so tell me, why do you think the Attorney General is so focused on medical marijuana?
He led the opposition to the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act in 2008. He did lead the opposition to the act, and I believe that he's just continuing his fight against medical marijuana. And it's a shame that it's coming from a political office.
I'm talking to Robin Schneider. She's a member of the political committee for the Michigan Association of Compassion Centers. So if the Supreme Court does not reverse the appeals court decision and or decides not to hear the case, where does that leave medical marijuana patients and dispensaries in Michigan? Wouldn't they simply not be able to operate at that point?
Not necessarily. There are several other protections that were written into the law on purpose. For instance, a caregiver may be able to assist any patient, as it says in the Act. So they would have to, instead of getting their medicine from other patients, they'd have to get their medicine from other caregivers. So we could go on in court for 5 years. What I'm really hoping will be done is that the legislature will act to regulate safe access points for patients so that they're not meeting in neighborhoods, they're not meeting in parking lots, and leave it up to each local municipality whether they even want them in their communities or not. It should be a local option of what each municipality is comfortable with. And if they want them, they should allow them to be strictly regulated and made safe for patients.
But,
patients need access to medicine that is safe, that's been tested so that we know that it's mold-free,
right,
so that they don't get sick from it. So instead of moving forward to create safer scenarios for patients, the Attorney General is trying to move us backwards. And really what he's doing is fueling the underground black market right now.
But if the Supreme Court doesn't rule on this case, I mean, ultimately, we're not going to really see dispensaries reopening in mass, are we? I mean, the Attorney General
could happen. Uh-huh. Like I said, there's many different defenses. There's many business models under which dispensaries could still operate.
I see.
Not to mention the fact that our most recent poll showed that we had strong support for safe access points for medical marijuana. And so there is the absolute possibility that we'll do a ballot initiative again.
So really that's what it would take, right? Because the dispensary owners basically shut down under the threat of potential prosecution. Wasn't that the case?
Correct. But there are several areas, Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor, Jackson, Flint, where the prosecutors are saying, we don't have a problem with these dispensaries. We want them here. They're good for public health and safety. Let's leave them alone. And those places are still operating and doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular Supreme Court case, whether or not it's heard, there will be another case and another case with various different business models that will have to go before the courts before this is over.
We could very well see several years then before we really see anything and dramatic changes and anything that we saw before the appeals court ruling, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
I see. Now, there are advocates that openly predict that a full legalization of marijuana may be about 5 years away. Do you see state voters agreeing to this kind of a move?
I personally am not a proponent of full legalization. I'm more concerned with, you know, people that are medically sick having safe access to their medicine. But from what I'm seeing from the national polls, as well as some local polling, that the support is there.
About a minute left. You know, Attorney General Bill Schuette basically said that part of his desire to get a grip and control over these dispensaries is that he saw a lot of these what he called pot profiteers, and that he pointed out that voters intended for medical marijuana to be available to those who were most sick, not to anyone who simply wants to feel better. Did he and does he have a point that there are many people in Michigan that are and were using medical marijuana that really weren't as sick as voters were intending for users of medical marijuana to be?
The law says, you know, and I'm, what he's referring to, I think, is severe and chronic pain. Now, 1 in 5 Americans actually suffer from severe and chronic pain and are prescribed, you know, Oxycontin and Vicodin. When you compare the number of people with severe and chronic pain that are using medical marijuana, and you compare that number to the people that are, you know, going through these Oxycontin clinics, it's really a very small percentage when you compare the two. So I really don't believe, I think that's a part of the mass hysteria as well. There was a situation where there was a doctor live Skyping over the internet, and we certainly don't support that and would expect the Bureau of Health Professions to take away the licenses of doctors who do the internet recommendations, you know, just like they would with any other doctor running an Oxycontin clinic.
For the last several years, there were tens of thousands of applications for medical marijuana being processed every month. It almost looks like this this court ruling may have stopped that process somewhat. Is your sense that if we were to go back to where we were before, we could see a million or several million people in Michigan being prescribed medical marijuana?
I don't think we will ever see. I think 300,000 would be about the maximum when you look at other states and their population and the ratio to Michigan's population. I think about 250,000 to 300,000 would be the maximum we would see here.
And in terms of the court case, is there any idea of when the Supreme Court may address the case or may consider addressing it?
We're expecting to hear an answer from them in the next couple of weeks as to whether or not they're going to hear that case. And again, if they don't, we're still working on the possibility of pro-dispensary legislation. We actually have a lot of support from both parties who would like to see well-regulated dispensaries. They've done this in other states like Maine and New Mexico, where they have safe access points that are much like pharmacies, where patients can go in and safely get their medicine that's been tested and is known to be safe and go home. And that's really all we want is for them to have safer scenarios than meeting in dark parking lots and neighborhood parks where there is no security to make sure they're safe. And could you imagine having to go get, you know, your prescription of insulin and having to just meet some guy somewhere to get it? How, you know, unsafe and unsure you might feel about that medication.
Well, it certainly sounds like some action will have to be taken at some point. Robin Schneider, a member of the political committee for the Michigan Association of Compassion Centers, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much.